Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. The king has settled in his house. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want you to picture in your minds the place you consider to be home. Take a minute, go ahead, close your eyes if you have to, and go back to that one place that comes to mind when you hear that word, home. What does it look like? Is there a warm fire crackling in the fireplace? A pitcher of lemonade on a tile kitchen counter? What does it smell like? For me, the smell of fresh-cut grass and the image of Dad lugging that lawnmower up the little hill in our backyard, that's what comes to mind when I think of home. For many of us, home will be the place where we grew up, where we learned to ride a bike, where we had sleepovers, heard bedtime stories, watched TV with the family. Maybe home for you is the place you live now, the place where, in just a few more hours, you will have that Christmas feast, open presents, laugh with the family. The question that I would like to pose for us today, as we wait out these last few hours before Christmas, is this. Where is God's home? What does the word home mean for God? Soon the church will celebrate the incarnation of God, when God himself, in the form of that infant king, took on human flesh, inaugurating the salvation of all flesh and the reign of the kingdom of heaven. Our season of Advent, of expectant waiting, will come to an end, and Christ will be born in our hearts anew. I love that phrase, borrowed from my days as an evangelical, Christ born in our hearts. Growing up as a Southern Baptist, I was taught that I needed to invite Jesus to come to live into my heart. And I think this is basically right. This is a good thing. God, who in the incarnation has made the earth his dwelling place, also desires to live in us, to be born in our hearts. We human beings have that distinct privilege. We get to make our souls a home for God. From the earliest passages of the Bible in the book of Genesis, we know that it is God's intention to dwell in peaceful harmony with his creation here on earth, to walk, in the words of Genesis, with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And through the incarnation of God in Christ, we know that God has redeemed human flesh so that this walking in the cool of the day, this communion, is possible through him. The Christmas season teaches us that God in Christ desires to take up residence in us, to be born in us, to make us his home. In our first lesson for today, the newly appointed King David, after building an impressive palace for himself, decides, well, he should also build a house for God. When the king was settled in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." King David, with what I'm sure were the best of intentions, thinks that he is capable of choosing a home for God. He wants to build God a worthy temple. But the Lord replies, "I've been moving around in this ark. I don't need you to choose a home for me." No, God himself will choose where he is to make his home. Which brings us to the story in Luke's gospel for today, the great annunciation to the Virgin Mary that she, in her virginity, will bear a son who will be the Son of the Most High God. As Father Casey mentioned earlier in the announcements, at the end of today's Mass, we will say the Angelus together, that ancient set of prayers honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary and her great yes to God. I know what some of you are thinking. Isn't Christmas supposed to be about Jesus? Why are we talking so much about Mary? Well, I'm glad you asked. We honor Mary first because God has chosen her as his home. How true are the words of the Archangel Gabriel to Mary? You are favored. The Lord is with you. God, in choosing Mary to be his own mother, has made Mary his own home. As St. Paul will write just a few decades after the Annunciation, our bodies are meant to be temples of God, to be houses where God dwells and where we commune with him. Bodies, flesh, things, stuff, materials, these are the vessels by which God has chosen to dwell with his people. Who then has dwelt with God more intimately? Who has had God born in them more perfectly than the Blessed Virgin Mary? Mary, in receiving God into herself, is the demonstration to all of us of what God intends for all of us. We too are to be God bearers, to be temples and houses of God. In Mary, God has found a suitable dwelling place, a palace that King David never could have dreamed of, one that no one but God himself could have built. If before God moved around in the Ark of the Covenant, then now, at least for these 9 months, God will move around in the womb of this young virgin girl. In fact, the Church has for centuries given Mary this title, New Ark of the Covenant. In the first Ark of the Covenant, God's mobile home, if I can coin a phrase, there were three items that symbolized God's presence. These were the tablets with the Ten Commandments, representing God's law given to his people, the staff of Aaron the priest, representing the priesthood of Israel, and the manna, that food from heaven, representing God's provision to his people. Well, in the new Ark of the Covenant, in the womb of Mary, we find Jesus, the perfect image of God's presence. Jesus is the Word of God, the new law. Like Aaron's rod in the old Ark, Jesus is our new high priest. And like the manna, Jesus is our bread of life. Therefore, it is fitting that all the reverence that was due the old Ark of the Covenant, and believe me, there was a lot of reverence due the old Ark of the Covenant. Just go read what happened to people who mistreated it, if you don't believe me. Spoiler alert, they are killed. Whatever honor was due to the old is due to the new, to Mary, because of that precious cargo which she carries, God himself. And we also honor Mary today because there is no Christmas, no incarnation, without the faithfulness of Our Lady. It's not just that God chose her, it's that she said, yes. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Mary shows us what perfect assent to God's will really looks like. She is a spiritual director par excellence, who teaches us what it means to commune with God and to obey his will. Our Lady, in those few words, let it be to me as you have said, in that simple act of faith, has not only made the incarnation possible, but has shown us our own future. Like a good spiritual master, she has shown us that we too can dwell with God, if we would only, like her, receive God into ourselves. During the season of Advent, we are taught to reflect on Jesus' first coming at the Nativity, and we are also taught to reflect on his second coming, when all things will be reconciled to God and heaven and earth will be made one. In the book of Revelation, John the seer is shown a vision of what the end of the world at Christ's return will look like. He says this, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. We already saw that in Genesis, Adam and Eve were created for the express purpose of dwelling with God. By their sin, communion between God and humanity was broken, and human flesh was marred by the effects of sin. But in Jesus' taking on of human flesh, I'll remind you, that he received from his mother, Mary, the effects of the fall have been reversed. This is why the church, since its earliest days, has referred to Mary not only as the new Ark of the Covenant, but as the new Eve. In her yes to God, Mary has reversed Eve's no, and in so doing has made her own body a place where the dwelling of God is with humanity. Again, the life of Mary is given to us as a model for our own life with Christ. We are all to be God-bearers. Christ must be born in us anew. We have been given a new Eve, a new mother. And when we have Mary for our mother, we have Christ for our brother, and God for our father. Let us rejoice then that God has made his home in Mary, and thus in all of us. Let us rejoice that our new Ark of the Covenant, our new Eve, has said yes to God, and that we can say yes to him too, and make a home for him in our hearts. So to return to my question, what does home mean for God? Well, I think home for God is in the hearts of those who love him. It is in Mary, and in those who, by Mary's example, welcome God into themselves. The 16th century Carmelite mystic Saint Teresa of Avila described the Christian soul as an interior castle filled with seven mansions. In the deepest mansion of the soul, God himself dwells and invites the soul to union with him. This Christmas, let us then, aided by Our Lady's example, prepare a mansion for God in our hearts. Let Christ be born with us anew this day. And may we, with all of God's people, make our cry to him, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to thy word." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.